When the government issues a purchase order following a request for quotation, you better sign it. You may not be required to, but it gives you some protection. Richard Lieberman's a consultant and author of The 100 Worst Mistakes in Government Contracting, here now to explain the RFQ mistake and how to avoid it. Dick, thanks very much for coming on the program and for writing the RFQ mistake that's on federalnewsradio.com. What is that mistake, and how common do you see it? Thanks for being on today, Dick.
Good morning. Thank you very much for having me. The RFQ mistake basically is a situation where a contractor thinks it has a contract after the government has sent that company a purchase order based on a company's quote. The quote is sent in response to an RFQ, a request for quotation. The problem here is the Federal Acquisition Regulation, or FAR, says a quote's not an offer, and it can't be accepted by the government to form a contract. So when you submit a quote, the government is required to send you a purchase order. A purchase order is not a contract based on a quote, according to the FAR. This is in Part 13. So the contractor receives this purchase order, and if it wants a contract, it has to sign the contract, send it back saying, we accept your purchase order and form a contract. The big mistake is that the contractor receives this thing, namely a purchase order, and the government has put a little trap in it. It says, you don't need to sign this because technically it does not. It can merely perform the work and then submit its invoice. The problem is that if it doesn't do it on time, the government has the right to withdraw the entire purchase order and say, sorry, we don't need this anymore. We don't want it anymore from you, and it doesn't have a contract. That goes to exactly what you said, Francis, which is when you get a purchase order from the government based on an RFQ, if you want the work, you should sign it, send it back, and say, we accept your purchase order.
Dick's writing about the RFQ mistake on federalnewsradio.com, and you're writing about the case of TTF LLC, and the details of the case are included in the piece that you've written for us. You write, though, that TTF, when it got this purchase order, had two ways to accept it. What are those two ways, and how do you use one of those two ways to ensure that you've sealed the deal, Dick?
Good question. Let's back up for 1 second. Let's talk about how contracts are formed. In classic government and private law, contracts are formed when someone makes an offer and a person or a company accepts the offer. In government parlance, we have bids that are responses to invitation for bids that a contractor submits, and the government can accept your bid, and that forms a contract. The second way, in negotiated procurements, we have an RFP, request for proposal. Contractor submits a proposal, and the government can accept it. Those are clear ways that the FAR can cause a contract to be formed. In a situation involving an RFQ, there is no offer until the government sends you the purchase order. That's the government's offer to you, so you have two ways to accept it. One, you can sign it, send it back and say, we accept your purchase order and we'll perform the work or give you the goods. Or you can have what is known in law as a classic unilateral contract, which is the way you accept it is by performing it. And that is what TTF did. Instead of accepting the contract, they started to perform it, and then they discovered that they couldn't perform it on time. And the government said, sorry, you didn't perform it on time, we're withdrawing the offer. So that's their mistake in that. So what I would recommend, and in fact you'll see this in a lot of literature, is that when you get a purchase order from the government, send back an email at least, but preferably a signed letter that says, we accept your purchase order.
And the wrinkle with that inability to perform, it strikes me, Dick, is that at that point the government legally was able to say, I'll just forget the whole thing. Am I reading what you're saying right? They didn't have, TTF had no recourse, even though they were the ones that in this case were not able to make it happen.
That's exactly right. The fundamental principle here is that you have to perform the contract on time. But there is no contract here. And there's no contract until you've performed it. So if you don't perform it on time, you're not performing the contract. Just let me give you a little analogy. If I put a big ad in the New York Times that says, I'll pay any person who walks across the Brooklyn Bridge in less than 5 minutes $1,000 in cash, that's sort of like the purchase order. I have it sitting out there. It's what's known as a unilateral contract, and there's only one way you can accept it, and that's to walk across that bridge in less than 5 minutes or whatever I said at the time. And so you may have 10 people walking across the bridge, and three of them make it in less than 5 minutes, and they get $1,000. They've accepted your offer. This is the same kind of thing. There's no contract until there's acceptance, but there's two ways to accept. One in writing, which creates a contract, and then, you know, you may not love government contracts, and you may feel that the provisions create problems for you, but the fact is you have a contract and you're protected by the provisions in the Federal Acquisition Regulation, or you can go ahead, start the work, and then you run the risk. Because when you look at these cases in the Boards of Contract Appeals and in the Federal Claims Court, you see that many times a contractor has a problem getting the materials, or he can't get the work done on time, so he wants an extension. And the government doesn't have to give you any extension, because if you don't perform as the contract says, you're out of luck. If the government, for example, no longer has money or doesn't think it's worthwhile to have this contract, think about this. These things normally take, you know, between 60 days and 300 days, and it's being done on a purchase order, which is not a contract because you never accepted it. I'd like to insert one more thing here, Francis, because I think the cause of this problem is in part the government. When the government sends you the purchase order, for some reason, unknown to me, they include this silly statement in the purchase order, quote, the contractor is not required to sign the purchase order in order to indicate acceptance. Well, of course that's true. All you have to do is perform. But why doesn't the government say, you may sign this if you want to, it was not legally necessary? That might give the contractor a clue that it would be a good idea to sign this thing and send it back to the government.
It's great information, Dick. It's a terrific column, and I'm grateful for you to come on and talk about it. And I commend it to anybody who's interested in making sure that they're getting the money that they think they're getting.
Thank you very much.